Good morning. Are we ready? This one of my favorite songs. I'd rather have Jesus. Ginny, thank you. The Holy Spirit knew. I didn't tell her what I'm going to speak about, but I'd rather have Jesus than this whole world. Wouldn't you agree with me? And my message today is inspired by what's happening around us. And if I sounded mad at times, please forgive me. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at what's happening. I'm sad also. But let's, before we do anything, let's ask God to bless us for the next 20, 25 minutes, okay? To open our hearts. And let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for allowing us to be in your presence this morning. And we thank you for giving us health, those who are here, to come and listen to your word. And those who are not, we pray that you be with them and bring them back to us safely. As for us, open our hearts, open our ears, open our eyes, so we know what's really happening and how to be ready for your coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verses 1 to 7. Let's open our Bibles. 2 Timothy. Here we go. Chapter 3, verse 1. Paul is writing to his spiritual son, Timothy. And most of you know these verses, but when I started looking what's happening around us, and I looked at these verses that I'm going to read, I said, what is that? This is written over 2,000 years ago, as if Paul, through the Holy Spirit, was describing our situation today. He says, but Timothy, realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Huh? For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. Is this our generation? Unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied his power, its power, and avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households, captivate weak women, weighed down with sin, led on by various impulses. Always learning, these people, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. May God bless his word. Is that a description of what we are living in today? When I thought about it, I said, long, long ago, he wrote it, Paul. But let's have a look today at what we read and how to apply it to our hearts. And I want to talk today. My subject is standing firm on the Word of God. standing firm on the word of God. Let's have a look at our spiritual condition today. Bear with me and please listen. I don't mean to be negative, but that's the real picture, I believe, of what the generation we are living in. God's word has no place today in society anymore. It is neglected and almost forgotten. One singer at a recent award gathering, he said, it's time to rephrase what was written 3,500 years ago. That's rejecting the Bible. He says, it's time to rephrase it, to write it our own way. And that tells me that respect for what is right, respect for what is wholesome and godly is not a priority anymore in the lives of many. This confirms what God's word vividly describes, what we read before, and here's more, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come, Paul still writing to Timothy, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in according with their desires. This is in the Bible. And this is what's happening today. Ignorance today about the Bible is appalling. The Bible is not taught anymore, except in a few churches. Thank God for them. Like a Yale University student was asked about Golgotha. You know what was the answer? This is the one who slew David. It makes me sad and mad at the same time. Where is the word of God? Is it preached? Is it being taught? Presently, also, there is a great satanic assault against Christians, the churches, and especially the home. I wanted to draw your attention to this. It's time to stand up. Satan's main objective is to destroy the home. Destroy the home. I tell you, destroy the home, you destroy the church. Because the church is made of homes. Then destroy the church, you destroy society. And destroy society, you destroy the nation. That's why we're sinking today. I'm not meaning politically, we are sinking spiritually. And you know what? Many don't feel it. But the church of God, the men and women of God, please let me have your attention. We are sinking spiritually. And we need to stand up and fight. Peter says to us and to that, to the church that he wrote to, or the believers, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion. Why? Seeking someone to devour. Let's be on our toes. Let's be on the alert all the time. Let's be on the alert. What happened? What happened today? Let me ask you a question. To the Word of God. What happened? We have moved away from it. We have moved away from it. As a nation. As a generation. We forgot that the Bible, the Word of God I'm talking about, was at every school teacher's desk. What used to be the guide of our nation is now collecting dust on the shelves of millions of homes. Do you agree with that? And I said, I don't mean to be negative. I'm a positive man. I'd like to give you good news. There is good news. But this is what's happening nowadays. We should be aware. We should be aware. And let's look at some good news. In the face of this, let me assure you, the genuine Christian home is still standing. Enough the negatives, but this is the truth. Anyway, the genuine Christian home is still standing. The home that God creates is standing. In Genesis, the Lord put the basic, the foundation of a home, of our homes. And he said, this is God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, 28, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male, listen to me, male and female, he created them. We all agree. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and fill the earth. That's the home created by God, established by the Creator, established by the one who created us all. That's the way, the foundation. No matter what man does, no matter what man does or tries to do to change God's plan, he is destined to fail. In spite of these attacks, let me assure you, dear Christians, what God ordains, no man can change. Now, another thing. God's word is above all. We said God's Christian home is standing, and God's word is above all. Period. Timothy's major task in Ephesus was to preach the word of truth as contained in the scriptures, as contained in the Bible. He told him, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. You know these. Paul was encouraging him to be on duty constantly. Are we on duty? We shouldn't have a day off. The word of God should be always on our in our hearts, on our mouths. Anytime, and live by it, and fight for it, and preach it, and teach it, and give it in our testimonies. This is the word that God gave us, and it's above all. We should be ready for emergency anytime. And with God's word as our weapon, let us be careful not to err only for one single minute, not to air out our opinion. If we are asked any question, church, any question we are asked, well, the word of God says. Oh, in my opinion, leave your opinion alone. And answer the question, okay? Okay, leave your teaching alone. Leave my teaching alone. Say, God says in his word. I knew a man who used to work for PG&E, and he was a member of our church a long time ago. And when he approaches me to talk to me, he approaches me with a hymn. Then he quotes the word of God. And I used to enjoy him very much. The word of God is always on his mouth. And I never forgot him because I said, that's a man of God. He was not a preacher nor a teacher. He was just a member of a church. But he lived the word of God. This is the word. This is the word. God is above all. Let's be very careful. And we thank God. There are still many servants of God, listen, who are not willing to compromise their teaching, nor lower God's standard for their lives, nor the lives of their church members. There are many. I'm not saying we are the church. No, we have our mistakes, we have our weaknesses, because the church is made of people. We make mistakes, but thank God, he corrects them. Right? We fall. Thank God, there's an arm underneath that picks us up. Let us not lose heart. Let's remember that God is with us, and God in his church. There are many, many servants of God who are preaching right now great messages and winning souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, and may God bless them. Let's not lower God's standard to our lives. Let us get up and rise to God's standard and live a life worthy of our calling. You know, we say, hey, there's no one anymore that loves God. There's no one that's following the Bible. The word of God is gone. Let's stop for a second. And you know who did say that long time ago, thousands of years ago? Our dear friend, Elijah. Elijah, he ran away and to the desert and sat down. He said, there's no one. I'm the only one who is preaching. And I'm the only one who's teaching. I am the only one who's standing. Everybody ran away. He says, Lord, stop by. Elijah, stop. And Elijah, and the Lord tell him, Elijah, I have left 7,000 men. And they are all on their knees that have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him. There are many like us fighting. And you know what? And the Lord will never leave us alone. You're not alone at all. As for us here, what is required from us as a church? What's required is to stand firm. Preach the word of God. Teach the word of God. Not your word, as we said. And we thank God. We thank God. Whether the men who are speaking here from this pulpit, and whether the Sunday school teachers, Sunday school is going on now with teachers who are born again, teachers who know their word, teachers who teach the word of God. And we preach and we teach, whether our women and men up there, or here behind this pulpit, any person who stands here, we preach the word of God. And the sacred word, the unchanging word, and stand by it until he comes. I have a story. It was published in Modern Maturity. And it goes like this, and it's a sad story, sad about what's happening in many churches nowadays. A preacher entered a Sunday school class while the lesson was in progress and asked this question. Please listen. Who broke down the walls of Jericho? Can we answer that? I think we can.
Right.
A boy answered, not me, sir. That's Sunday school. And all the class started laughing and everything was in chaos. The preacher turned to the teacher and asked, is this the usual behavior in this class? The teacher answered, this boy is honest, sir. And I believe him. I really don't think he did it. Sad and not sad, whatever it is. Leaving the room, it doesn't end there. Just bear with me. Leaving the room, the preacher sought out an elder and explained what had happened. The elder said, I have known both the teacher and the boy for years, and neither of them would do such a thing. Thank God for our school teachers and our. By the time the preacher was heartsick and reported it to the Department of Children Education in the church, they said, we see no point in being disturbed. Let us pay the bill for the damage to the walls and charge it to facility. I wonder what is taught in many churches today. If we stand, someone asks us a question. Are we ready to answer the question from the Word of God? So men and women, school teachers everywhere, Sunday school teachers, let us study the Word of God because it is supreme. It's the only one that is standing against the type in this world. Oh, dear friends, a moral and spiritual revolution is needed. And this should start where? At the church. With us. As someone said, no nation. Listen, no nation is better than its church. And no church is better than its people. I tell you, only God transformed lives. Only God transformed lives can change the moral and spiritual fiber of our nation. In spite of this devastating ignorance that we are living and seeing around us, the attacks on Bible believers, it's going on. Attacks on Christians anywhere, we are not discouraged. Let them attack. We're standing, right? We're standing still. We're not discouraged. No, not at all. We shall persevere and continue to preach and teach the eternal word of God and nothing else. We still have a refuge. I have good news. I told you that I'm optimistic, but that's the Bible. The Bible makes me more optimistic. It says, we still have a refuge. We still have a citadel. We still have a fortress we can run to, and that is the secret word of God. Are we standing? I hope everybody says, yes, Adol, I am standing firm. Regardless what is taught nowadays, the Word of God is authored by God. They might say, well, we need to change it. We need to change the word so our generation will understand it and may tailor it toward them. No, let us tailor our lives toward the word of God. All scriptures is inspired by God and profitable for preaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The word of God is safe, sacred and alive. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's the word of God. The word of God also is active because it is eternal. The Bible says that. It's not me. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 and 24. It says that for you have been born again to the Peter, and you are abiding in the word of God. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord abides forever. Finally, the word of God is powerful because it changes lives. When it is received by faith, a new beginning starts. If you're sitting here and listening to the word, trust the Lord, because the word of God says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If anyone accepts Christ as Savior, he becomes a child of God. He will change you. He will make a new person out of you, instead of a sad person, perplexed, negative. He will change you. I was so negative about myself and so lost until I met Jesus Christ. And I became the most joyful person in life. And I still have this joy. And guess what? No one can take it away from me, because this joy is from God. And God is eternal. I will be joyful until, and not until, forever, because when I go to see him, I'll be more joyful. And you will. If anyone is in Christ, he becomes a new creation. This is why the word of God is the most powerful word you can ever experience in your life. Why don't you take this word, apply it to your life, apply it to your heart, and you become a new creation. This is my word today. Simple word to you. And I have good news for you. God is still working. And souls are being saved by believing what? His sacred word. His word, his eternal word. And may God work in your heart and mine to continue this journey and to stand on the eternal word of God. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful we have still the liberty to proclaim your word and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ as the only Savior in this world. We thank you for being with us this morning and this afternoon. We pray that you lead us in this life that we still have here and help us to preach and to teach and to witness from the word of God and nothing else. Be with us as we continue the rest of the day. Be with each and every family and help us to to honor you in everything we do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray.